Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Casting the Net. Today is a continuation from the last few weeks where they discuss the teachings of Father Dubé in his book Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer. And today they discuss, in particular, the importance of opening ourselves up, how God desires that we make the turn for deeper conversion and deeper prayer, the importance of cheap grace being one of the enemies, you know, understanding that that's one of the enemies. And they have a lot of great quotes today. Father Dave has one where he says, "Don't go to Mass or confession waiting for some wisdom from the priest. The encounter is with Christ." And Rick has one where he says, "The priest is mediating grace to you, and that's what you're getting out of the sacrament." Hope you enjoy this one, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Father Dave Nuss, together with Father of Four, Rick Lingvay. Welcome to Casting the Net. We are in search for catching the faith.
Something Brad can't edit.
We're live. Yeah, Brad, we're counting on you. Father Dave and Rick.
Just Rick.
And just Rick. There's no just for you, Rick. You're Rick. And friends, you have no idea, but Rick and I have just sat with these microphones not on.
I'm exhausted. I don't know if I can really go another 20 minutes.
Having a meaningful conversation, and we covered quite a swath of territory.
Yeah.
None of which has direct applicability to our podcast
whatsoever to what we're going to talk about right now. But
you may or may not have been entertained had you listened in on it. So we gotta focus right now, right?
All right, dig deep.
Right, right. Yeah. We're casting the net is what we're doing, and we want to be caught up in this great love of God. This great love of God, which continuously is placed before us as act of mercy and gratuity on God's part. We have had extended time working our way through just a gem of a short work by Father Thomas Dubé entitled Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer. And the last time we met, I think we completed Father Dubé's Surefire Program. And Surefire Program was the name of the chapter, where he was giving very concrete, I would say measurable, aspects for exactly making the title come to play in our life. Deep conversion, deep prayer. We might say deeper conversion. And the conversion, of course, is to Christ. That how can I grow in my reliance on Christ as my standard, and as opposed to wrestling with him where I want to keep aspects instead of me setting the standard, and Christ can set the standard and other things. But deep conversion is, no, there's one standard, and it's the standard that Christ sets with his own words and actions.
Yeah.
And the way for that to happen is deeper prayer. And think here prayer not as assignments to complete, and we really have to graduate from that as adults if we're going to be mature Christians. There was a time when the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be and the Angelus and the guardian angel prayer and the prayer before meals, they were not understood because I was a child. And I prayed them not understanding them, knowing that they were good.
Right.
With a child's understanding and an innocence with which I pray them. Now as an adult, there needs to be a different way that I'm communicating with God using those same powerful media as examples of how to communicate with God, but not to get my prayers done, to get my rosary said, rather to encounter the living God through my own passion and desire to encounter him. Let me just stop there. That was a really long introduction.
I liked it. That's worth the price of admission right there. No, it's an example that I typically say for moral moral theology, or talking about moral theology, but it applies here. It's the difference between, you know, my parents telling me when I'm 3 years old that, you know, Rick, don't eat dirt. Don't put that rock in your mouth. Mm. And I don't do it because that's my mom and dad telling me, and I know it's a rule and I respect that. And then, you know, 20 years later or 40 years later, right? I'm not eating dirt and rocks because I know that's not what good, you know, that I don't know that that's not good activity for a healthy human being to engage in.
Yes.
Right. I'm not avoiding eating those things because it's a rule. I'm avoiding eating those things because I know I can't flourish and prosper as a human being with dirt and rocks in my digestion system. So
I didn't see that example coming.
Well, it's a nice, easy one that high schoolers typically understand. So I keep it in my back pocket. But
that is so true. And it's at the heart of Father Dubé's work, which for me is an inspirational, practical excursus on the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does the spiritual life become more lively and impactful in daily living? And this is a tangent here, Rick. Just thinking, if there's anything our faith needs to extend today in its ability to extend its relevance and impact in daily living.
Yeah.
Too often it's been mischaracterized as an activity that we do on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus this is a programmatic way to flourish this side of heaven and enter into the eternal life that I've been created to enjoy. Deep conversion, deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Surefire program, Father Dubé gave us these eight sort of clarion calls.
Eight B's, he says.
Eight B's, B's, you know, B-E, not B-E-E, B-E, in terms of dispositions and resolutions that we're to harbor. And we went through those in the last, I think, two episodes, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want to say more about that?
I mean, just, you know, principles like be concerned, be motivated, be determined. And it's a solid list. It's a good list to guide our spiritual growth. And the trick, of course, is, you know, as with anything else in the spiritual life, coming back from a retreat or coming out of Lent or coming out of Holy Week, how do you maintain the momentum that you gained during that experience?
Bingo.
That's always the aim. And I think that the tendency, it is with me anyway, it may be with you, I'm sure it's a common feeling. The tendency is to say, okay, I've reached that level. Let's move on to the next level and find out what, you know, secret spiritual truths lie ahead that were just waiting for me to unlock. That's a problem. That's not the way to go about looking at spiritual growth. That's something called Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Gnosticism was a very pernicious heresy from
It's still around.
Yeah, it is. It's under different guises. It's still here, but it was, you know, very prevalent in the early church, and it was condemned as heretical by the church, by the institutional mm-hmm. church. And one of the things the Gnostics, it was kind of a blend of like Judaism, some Christian principles, and then like some weird Eastern religion, like Zoroastrianism. Principles from those religions, but one of its tenets was that there are secret religious and spiritual truths that you don't have access to until you've sort of, you know, worked your way up the hierarchical ladder, worked your way up some rungs of the ladder. You know, that's not Christianity.
I mean, it's modern day gaming.
Yeah,
that's what I have to unlock the code, and I have to go to the next level.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's true.
And there's always this ascension, but it's an ascension through the discovery of secrets that are embedded therein.
Yeah.
That's Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's well put.
Different when we're doing this for entertaining
than
spirituality.
Right.
Good grief. So, yeah, the church has time and again denounced any such ploys that characterize progress in spiritual life.
Yeah. And what we have instead is, you know, a 2,000-year-old tradition with very visible, very public ways of growing in holiness, some of which were laid, you know, articulated in Father Dubé's book for us to practice. And yeah, it might be easy to enter into those principles, you know, the eight B's in our case, at a very superficial or shallow level, but the trick is to work deeper into those bees.
Yes.
And that's how you perpetuate or continue the momentum that you gain through, in our case, throughout Lent.
Yes. And so resist the temptation, friends, of higher levels. Actualizing, opening.
Some practices that I know should be out there, like some secret code that I need to access to really make spiritual progress.
Yes. So if I pray this in a different language, I'll unlock the mystery that previously has been an enigma.
Yeah. Yeah. The access code is love, right? I mean, that's really what it is, love and grace.
That's
we'll get to this in a minute. It's really appropriate that Father Debay ends his book with a chapter on the sacrament of reconciliation of confession. Because at the center of every sacrament is a strong concentration or influx of divine grace.
Yes.
In the Christian life, I mean, in what we're talking about now and in so many other facets is really not a vicious cycle, but a virtuous cycle.
Yes.
We give ourselves in love, and in so doing, we open ourselves up. And in that opening ourselves up, we open ourselves up to receive what God wants to give us in return, which is grace, his life, his love, his power. Mm-hmm. And that enables us to open ourselves up even more.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's how you work deeper in each one of these B's.
Yeah.
Or in any spiritual practice that you adopt.
Sure.
So just as an example, like the be concerned, I think it's the first principle that Father Debay gives.
Yeah.
You know, be concerned that your spiritual love, that you're not on pace to achieve the great heights to which you're called through baptism. Mm. Mm. Be concerned about that. I mean, okay, I was concerned. I didn't I didn't make much progress. That I'm just
sure.
I'm not speaking for me specifically,
sure,
but just in general,
sure, like,
I'm concerned I didn't make any sort of visible improvement. There's that sort of be concerned, and then there's the sort of be concerned that we see in someone like Thomas Merton, who says that, you know, there's no nuclear weapon that's been devised yet that's half as destructive as one mortal sin.
Wow.
Like, that's an entirely different level of being concerned.
Wow.
You know,
right.
Like that's the level of being concerned that you want to strive to reach, and
yes,
you do that through love, through giving yourself and then receiving and giving yourself even more.
Yeah, perfectly put. Mm. So you mentioned the last chapter of the book,
yeah,
which is, well, let me frame it with Father Debay's words. Our surefire plan is not yet quite complete. That's how he begins that chapter, that something else is needed. And this something else is his speaking about the sacraments, especially Eucharist and penance. So not just on the sacrament of reconciliation.
Right.
That this is God's doing. This is grace, power, that is actualized and at play in us and through us.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly these, you know, he's presupposing baptism, of course.
Yeah.
But that Eucharist and penance are they're at the heart of the surefire program.
Mm. Has to be that way.
Has to be that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
We this is a theme we return to a lot, and it's appropriate. I mean, rightly so, that the Christian life is sort of a paradoxical one. We're called to a goal. We're called to a life that we can't achieve on our own. We can't achieve it naturally. We need divine assistance. We need grace to reach it. And that's why it's so fitting or so appropriate that Father Debay ends his treatment of deep conversion and deep prayer with the sacraments. You know, God doing, God acting on our behalf, God giving those special influxes of grace to help us reach where we need to go.
God desiring we're not gonna get there to give us those influxes of grace as well.
Yeah.
Not our earning them or wooing God or impressing God, sort of being rewarded as it were, but God deeply desiring that we make this turn of deeper conversion and deeper prayer.
Yeah, just
please.
Before we went on the air, you mentioned the many things we did, the many topics we solved, the many problems we solved before we went on the air. You mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer,
right? In a different context.
In a different context, but. Bonhoeffer, great, you know, German, famous German pastor from the early 20th century.
Martyr.
Martyr, yeah. Executed World for War II. Opposition to Adolf Hitler during the final days of the war. Yeah,
a Lutheran.
Lutheran, yep. He was sort of famous for his expression, cheap grace.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That the real enemy of Christians in the modern world is the conception of cheap grace, this idea that, you know, since grace is given to us freely and so easily, you know, we don't have to do anything in return, really. That's cheap grace, and that's one of the enemies. Grace is given to us freely and abundantly.
Yeah.
But what it costs is our lives.
Yeah. Like, no less than our life.
Yeah. We need to give ourselves totally and you know, committedly to what God's calling us to do and what God's enabling us, empowering us to do.
In this chapter, bear with me here, Rick. I think Father DeBay just nails this. Gossiping, overeating, laziness, willed impatience, right? That I'm in the control of that, being impatient. Harmful use of media are among many possible illustrations of sins without noticeable improvement. That's what he's listing as. And I can add to this list at different times in my life, just really persistent sin wasn't at the level of mortal sin. It was persistent sin. Like I'm not getting through this. I'm not experiencing change from it. And he's named some of the real challenges that can cause tyranny in people.
Very common ones.
Confessing these sins or others like them over and over again often seems to have little or no visible effect on their occurrence. And I'm going to just stop quoting for a second. And what the opponent wants to do is he wants us to live in discouragement with that and to think that the sacrament itself has no effect and therefore is deemed irrelevant. And now I'm going to stop presenting myself for the grace that is received in the sacrament, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the devil's play in this.
Right.
Father DeBay goes on to clarify this phenomenon, the phenomenon of, you know, confessing these sins and doing so sincerely. I mean, presupposing that. Confessing these sins just doesn't seem to have a visible effect. I'm coming back and I'm confessing the same sin. I'm so judgmental, dismissive. I'm so angry at a person or a group, and I'm confessing it because I really don't want to be controlled by it, but I'm confessing it repeatedly. I keep coming back with this, or distraction of my prayer. I keep coming back to the sin because it's real, and there's no seemingly visible effect that's happening by my confessing it. But this cannot be due to the lack in the sacrament of reconciliation or in the Eucharist, right? With which the people of whom are speaking may receive weekly or even daily. The lack of results, and this is where I'm going to conclude this, must be due to deficiencies in serious efforts at real conversion or else to receiving these sacraments in a routine, mediocre, or even slovenly manner. That's just perfectly put.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and in my case, as I'm reflecting at some of those things in my own life, it's true. The mediocre means kind of, somewhat, half-hearted. Even if it's mostly, it's not completely. I'm not resolved. If I'm trying to learn a new habit, I'm thinking in athletics, there was the mastery of a particular skill, hitting a baseball. And I'm just really having trouble recognizing the ball coming out of the pitcher's hand, at least at maybe a later age, where suddenly you get old enough and some pitchers can do some different things to the ball, right?
Right.
You know, it's not just recognizing where the ball is heading, but what kind of a pitch is it, right? Mm-hmm. How is it spinning? Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do but just take swings and take swings and take swings and really concentrate. And it seems like no progress is made. But the last thing I want to do is stop taking swings.
Right. Right.
And I have to rely on the fact that over time, in this case, and the analogy will break down because this is human experience, right? I'm not talking about grace and acting. I'm going to develop capacities that I don't initially have through good habits. And that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, no. One of the ways that we express our discipleship is through what the church calls corporal and spiritual works of mercy. I mean, that's just one example. But I mean, the word work there is extremely illustrative of what the spiritual life is about. I mean, it's effort. It takes effort, and effort put forth towards something, you know, worthy and noble, and you know, it's not easy.
Yeah,
it's not easy. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fall down. But that's what grace is for. That's what the sacraments are for. You know, this isn't just a Christian insight. I mean, most human beings understand that to contemplate and to shoot for, you know, really high levels of virtue or really high forms of contemplation. I mean, Aristotle says this very clearly. Like, it takes a lot of internal and external conditions to be just right mm-hmm. for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why so few people can't do it, you know. And he's a pagan.
Yeah, right?
Christians know that just as well. Yeah. But Christians have the benefit or the advantage of knowing that God wants us to achieve those heights, and He'll let us do it help us to do it if we let Him. He'll give us the resources to achieve those heights.
So persevere with Mass. Persevere with the sacrament of reconciliation. The church prescribes, of course, an obligation for us every Sunday and every holy day. Of course, I'm not suggesting that is to be set aside at all. But back to your recollection of dirt and rocks, we want to graduate from the obligation being the motivation for us to go to either one of those sacraments. And we want it to be a desire, and the desire is not to get something out of it, but to meet no less than the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Yeah, because if you really do want that deep conversion, you know, you're not going to get it through some sort of secret spiritual practices or insights that are out there waiting for you. You're going to do it by integrating the sacraments into your spiritual life, and that's going to open you up to more graces down the road. And you're gonna persevere. You're gonna push deeper into Father Dubé's 8 B's.
Yeah. Insight. Let me take that real quickly. So don't go to Mass or to confession waiting for some wisdom from the priest. You know, like the preaching, like I gotta get an insight from the priest, or I need some insight in the confessional. No, the encounter is with Christ. That's what's at the center. And if it's an insight, then thanks be to God that grace was received in a way that illumined or clarified or crystallized, moves us to act with a greater sense of resolve or commitment.
Yeah, that's a really important commentary on. I know a lot of people get frustrated with Mass or the other sacraments because they quote unquote don't get anything out of them.
Yeah,
you know, they go to Mass.
Yeah,
they hear, and I'm not. You know, we love our priests. Not everyone's a gifted homilist.
Yes.
They're just not. They do their best, and you know, we love them for that. But not everyone is a John Chrysostom. They'll go, and the layperson will go and be frustrated and think they'll find a better homily at the Baptist church down the street, and they might, but that's not the point.
Yeah, not everyone's John Vianney.
That's
in the confessional who can read souls and cut right to the chase.
The point is, the priest is mediating grace to you, and that's really what you're getting out of the sacrament.
Mm.
You know.
Boom. Boom.
Mic drop.
That is a mic drop.
That's not a bad note to end.
That is a great note.
We'll be here all week, folks. We'll see
you. That is it. Friends, he's Rick. I'm Father Dave. We are so grateful that you have spent this time with us sharing in conversation. And we look forward to continuing Casting the Net. Friends, he's Rick. And I'm Father Dave, a dad and a priest, together trying to become better fathers by catching Christian faith. Thanks for joining us for our conversation, and we hope that you'll connect with us next week for Casting the Net.